You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM, HD1, Evanston, Chicago. I'm Gabe Shumway, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, Northwestern grounds crew takes on Arbor Day, representing artists on campus, life and psychology as a twin, and this week's B-List. Those stories and more coming up from Northwestern University. This is WNUR News at 6. Thanks for hopping through. Skies and temperatures might be gloomy this week, but campus isn't, thanks to Northwestern grounds crew. WNUR's Sahana Ani checks in on the team's sustainability efforts for Arbor Day.
Last Friday, Sheridan Road sang with the sounds of shoveling and giddy laughter. It was Arbor Day, and students joined the Northwestern grounds crew to plant new trees along the street. Julie Cahillane is Northwestern's Associate Director of Sustainability and helped organize the annual Arbor Day tree planting. She says this is a beneficial way to celebrate Earth Month and our campus.
We don't do it all the time, but it was a nice opportunity to let folks connect to the grounds, their sense of place, and the natural beauty that our campus provides.
Cahillane says the trees bring a lot to campus, both in terms of sustainability and general quality of life.
Trees provide a lot of benefits. You know, they're carbon sequestration options, so that's good. They help to clean the air in general, but they also bring kind of well-being benefits to folks. The more greenery there is, the better.
It can be easy to take campus's greenery for granted, but participants at the planting learned that planting trees is no easy feat. Although some students, like Anna Miller, had no tree planting experience.
Well, I've never gardened or let alone planted a tree.
Others, like Ilya Ilyev, were experts.
I have like a couple of trees are pretty big. Initially, like I planted a lot. I probably planted between 50 and 100.
Participants started by digging holes into the soil.
This is like the hardest part, starting the hole.
And then rolling young trees provided by the Northwestern grounds crew into the holes.
Release the tree.
Groundskeeper foreman Steve Camburn oversaw the event. He says they purposefully had a wide variety of tree sizes and species planted.
So this is, a lot of these are natives. We've got some smaller fruit trees. We have persimmon, which is kind of unique for us to be planting. We've got sweet gum, which is not necessarily its native, but maybe a little bit further south. We experimented with that a little bit. We have some non-native species kind of intermixed.
Many students grew fond of the trees they planted. Attendee Vicky Peng and her group ended up naming their tree Hoppy, after its species, the hop hornbeam.
And it's a little similar to happy.
Cahillane says the event is designed to deepen students' connection with both campus and the natural world.
And that's what we want, you know, a sense of pride and a sense of ownership of the natural world is good from an environmental perspective, it's good for a campus perspective, and it helps folks engage in kind of awareness and understanding and connection to natural beauty and the benefits of our natural landscapes.
For WNUR News, Sahana Ani.
With A&O Ball and Mayfest's Dillo Day at the front of everyone's minds, it's pretty safe to say that Northwestern's got a pretty sick music scene. There's a new kid on the block, though, who's looking to represent artists on campus. Sophia Bella and Yumi Talud have the story.
Breaking into the music industry usually takes money, connections, or a suspiciously famous parent. But one Northwestern club is trying to break down those barriers to entry.
Starlight, a new student-run record label on campus, has one mission: to support Northwestern's emerging musical talent. Weinberg fourth year Max Garon is the current president of Starlight. This year, he took charge of reviving the club, which technically started 2 years ago, and made sure the club is set up to thrive even after he graduates.
I didn't want the vision to be one and the same as the ones I had for other organizations, so I was able to find some underclassmen who are super driven, super committed, and like the perfect people to take this forward into the next couple of years.
Between A&O, Mayfest, Local Mojo, Night School, and now Starlight, it feels like new music orgs are popping up on campus left and right. But Garon, who is involved in most of them, says that Starlight isn't just another concert organizer.
Starlight will be more focused on like the actual building of a project and hooking up artists with opportunities and developing their project in a way that they can reach their creative goals that they have.
To be a successful record label, you need connects. So how do you build that from the ground up?
It really comes down to resourcefulness. And I think there's a good crop of talent who is really like enthusiastic about the music scene and like understands what it takes to kind of succeed in that. And really that's just outreach, that's putting yourself out there, talking to promoters, meeting them, asking them if they have time to chat and learn about them. And that's the only way that you can kind of get artist opportunities, is by knowing the right people.
And by doing so, Garon hopes that Starlight can help students break out of the Northwestern bubble. A huge obstacle, he says, is overcoming the label of a college band or college artist, which prevents people from breaking into the Chicago scene or releasing all the music that they want to.
We want to encourage more artists to take their whole image seriously, and like if they have goals they want to achieve, that help them achieve them. I think it would be super cool to see like more artists put out albums, more artists like go do shows in the city, and maybe achieve a level of recognition that hasn't already been seen by artists on campus.
Tiny speck of earth, how'd you get so strong?
Weinberg first year Zach Gu met Garon at the Fall Quarter Club Fair and says Starlight's mission stood out right away.
To me, that appealed to me right away because it sounded so personal and hands-on with music artists directly, you know, not putting on like, you know, big concerts, let's say, for other events, but like directly one-on-one with the artists.
For Gu, working directly with artists helps close the knowledge gap around the music industry, a space that can be tough to navigate without mentors or insider connections. For student artists looking for representation, Gu says that's exactly what Starlight is trying to change. Its members are deeply invested in helping artists grow and in creating a community of musicians who can support each other.
We all are able to research and learn quickly, and it's about having people to do the journey with instead of having to do it up by yourself.
So, if you're an indie singer-songwriter
or a drummer in a rock band,
give Starlight a call. They might just be able to help you find your spotlight.
For WNUR News, I'm Sophia Bella.
And I'm Yumi Talib.
Reporter Sophia Kesa is a twin and has spent her whole life getting asked questions about telepathy, genetics, and if she and her twin are really just fraternal. And she's not alone. So to delve into our shared fascination with twins, here's Sophia Kesa with the story.
Communication 30-year Anna Rigo grew up with a mystery surrounding her birth.
We are 30 seconds apart. We were born in the same minute. They didn't tell anyone who was older, and they could get away with it because our birth certificates are the same.
Rigo was a fraternal twin, and due to the close birth time of her and her brother, she spent several years without an answer to the essential question. Who is the older twin?
My 18th birthday was a birth order reveal party. We had like all of my friends ever come, and they like put their name into the hat of who they thought was older. And then my dad like announced to the world, sadly, by 30 seconds, I am the younger twin.
Now, twins aren't common per se. According to the CDC, they account for about 3% of all live births, but chances are high that you know a twin or two. But despite, or perhaps because of, their relative rarity, we eat up stories like Rigo's. Even look at her movies, TV shows, and books, you'll see Sinners, The Secret History, even The Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. We are so fascinated by twins, but the question is, why? Casper M. Wong is a second year in the School of Communication, and you guessed it, a twin as well. When Wong tells people that they're a twin, the response is as you might expect.
If we are together, people will say, I don't believe you because we don't look alike, and people often forget twins are not necessarily identical.
But then there are some unexpected ones.
A lot of what comes up is like, can you read each other's minds, surprisingly? Which the answer is no, but thank you for asking.
And this isn't just something asked to Wong. As a twin myself, I felt some authority on this subject, and while I can't give my thoughts as a reporter, I knew someone who could.
Hello?
Hi.
That's Natalie Kesa, a third year at Denison University, and yes, my twin sister.
They're like, what? And then they're like, do you have mind powers? I'm just kidding. They don't always say that, but sometimes people do. I mean, I'm sure you've gotten it too, where they're like, can you read each other's mind? Or like, goofy stuff like that.
But do these ideas have any merit? Or is it just wishful thinking or science fiction? Well, the good thing is that there are experts to weigh in.
I've always been interested in people. And so that interest in people plus being a twin really seemed to be a very natural and fascinating combination.
Nancy Siegel is a professor of psychology and director of the Twin Studies Center at California State University, Fullerton. She's written 9 books about twins with another in production. She's advised the teams of movies, TV shows, and books on the facets of twinhood. She also, fun fact, serves as a consultant for the Guinness World Records. All in all to say, she knows what she's talking about when it comes to twins. According to Siegel, can twins read each other's minds or have mind powers? The answer is no, sorry to burst anyone's bubble. But beyond this, Siegel's examined other fascinating twin misconceptions over her career.
Identical twins are exactly alike. They're not exactly alike. There are differences between them in virtually everything you measure. It's just that they are more alike than any other pair of people.
Now, another often repeated one is that having twins or being a twin is genetic.
And then there's this idea that twins skip generations. Now, it could happen, but there's no rule that says that it must.
And while a lot of these ideas aren't true, the fact that they exist tells us a lot about our society's continued fascination with twins. Something Siegel has thoughts on.
First of all, it's unusual. It's still a minority in the population. But more than that, I think it's the fascination with identical twins that really stands out. Because we all learn to expect and appreciate individual differences in behavior and appearance. So we see identical twins who look so much alike and act so much alike, it kind of challenges our belief in the way that the world should work. And so we find it intriguing whether we are engaged in it or whether we're repelled by it. But it's intriguing nevertheless, and we want to know more about who these people are, who also seem to get along so well and so effortlessly.
And now, being and acting alike isn't the case for all twins. In Wong's case, Wong and their twin aren't similar at all.
No, we not only have very different interests, but we're also very, very different people, down to like senses of style, what we prefer to do if we have like free time.
For most relationships, that would be a deal breaker, but it's different with twins.
I'm pretty sure if we weren't related, we probably wouldn't be friends. But yeah, that's my ride or die.
And this devotion and love for your literal day one is something nearly universal across the twins I talk to, including Rigo.
I feel really lucky to have someone that I have gone through my whole life with and that understands my family so deeply, but then can also understand like my specific stage of life so deeply.
It's a unique experience, but it's one Natalie Queso wouldn't trade for the world.
I just think I have a built-in best friend, and that is really kind of a cheesy thing to say, but it's true. I mean, I think there are things that I can say to you, or I can give you a look when something is said, where like we both have context to something that like you know, like a lot of people wouldn't have context to, or like, you know, I don't know, like inside jokes to the max almost, where like we're connected in a way that like I think is really special.
And while I can't read her mind, I was thinking the exact same thing. For WNUR News, I'm Sophia Kissel.
Last weekend was a good one for new movies and music. For the latest in pop culture and celebrity news, Ilse von Heimberg is here to keep you updated.
Welcome to the B-List, your weekly roundup of celebrity mess and pop culture. This week, new music, new biopics, and a newly single Megan Thee Stallion. Singer-songwriter Noah Kahan dropped his 4th album last Friday and released the deluxe version later that same day. Called The Great Divide, it deals with how success has impacted Kahan's relationships. The album is accompanied by a Netflix documentary, which was released 2 weeks ago. A Michael Jackson biopic titled Michael was released over the weekend. It has grossed $97 million in the U.S. and $217 million worldwide, shattering records for highest domestic opening for a biopic and highest global opening of a music biopic. Although critics have panned the movie for its lack of depth, it has received a 97% audience approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And Megan Thee Stallion has split from Dallas Mavericks player Klay Thompson over his alleged infidelity. The rapper said in a now-deleted Instagram post that Thompson got, quote, cold feet and accused him of mistreatment. A few hours later, she performed in Moulin Rouge on Broadway and was moved to tears at curtain call. That's all for the B-List this week. Check in next Monday to hear about what happens this week in pop culture. For WNUR News, I'm Ilse von Heimberg.
Thank you once again for tuning in today to WNUR News. Now we're going to take a brief look at the forecast. May is around the corner, and with it, April is finishing its final showers. Thunder and lightning is abound today, with an 80% chance of lightning over the next 2 hours. The rain is expected to conclude by Thursday, when temperatures will drop into the 40s and low 50s, but the rain will be gone. Taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation and globe. Mayfest Productions has announced its headliner for this year's Dillo Day, Northwestern's annual student-run music festival. Malcolm Todd will be this year's headliner. The indie folk artist gained notoriety on TikTok and with his 2024 album, Sweet Boy. Illinois residents are expected to lose SNAP benefits starting this May. This also worries local grocers, with Living Market's Melody Winston telling the Chicago Sun-Times Monday, quote, "There's a ripple effect that will happen, not just to the big stores, but to the little guy." Jimmy Kimmel and the administration are at odds once again. Kimmel made jokes on his show Thursday while pretending to be the White House correspondent's host, calling Melania Trump a, quote, "expectant widow," unquote. In response, Melania Trump posted, quote, "His monologue about my family isn't comedy. His words are corrosive and deepens the political sickness within America," unquote. With excitement starting to ramp up before the 2028 Summer Olympics in L.A., one of the most famous Olympians of the century is back. After 4 years of retirement, Allyson Felix announced in a Time magazine interview that she is returning to the world of track and field. Beginning in 2027, the 11-time medalist will begin her journey to qualify for her 6th Olympic Games. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news, updates, and reports, you can follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. Should have stayed that way. At WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 893. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Ethan Pan, and our reporters are Sahana Ani, Yumi Talud, Sophia Bella, and Sophia Kesa. This evening was truly a Sophialopolis. I am Gabe Shumway. Catch our next newscast Wednesday, April 29th at 6 p.m. Now, back to scheduled programming.